Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, October 21st, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have the lovely Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte. Charlotte's broken right now. She can't deal.
Hello. Happy Monday. We're here.
Take my word for it. Charlotte's totally here.
I'm here in spirit, if not in mind. The John Marsalaro has broken us all, but we're here.
Yes, and destroyer of podcasts, also with me today, John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Charlotte. I'm sorry.
It's going to be one of those shows
whatever,
people
whatever it is, like I'm giving you a blanket sorry note.
Okay, this just in, I have sources familiar with the matter telling me John's not even a little sorry. So, just so we're clear.
Buckle in, people. It's Monday.
Buckle up. It's going to be that show. Here we go. We actually, John, do want to start with you and an interesting article you found that you highlighted in Particle Debris.
Yeah, thank goodness for Twitter. I find some interesting articles that way.
Literally no one ever.
That is the first time those words have ever been assembled in that order in the English language.
It has to do with the structure of who I follow. It's a very carefully crafted list to make sure that I find important stuff from authors and weed out the noise. And this time I happened across a developer who writes a blog called Nibble Stew, and he got wrapped around the axle trying to install Xcode in Catalina and ran into the reserved space issue.
I'm shocked. An issue after installing Catalina.
Google searches and discovered that no matter what he tried to delete, he ran into some reserved space issues. He found a command line, tm till command that allowed him to resurrect his free space, and his blood pressure started rising, and when his blood pressure dropped to better levels, he realized that Mac OS X is a lot like Linux was 20 years ago.
There's a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth involved once you've got it installed.
Yeah, he wrote this really humorous article comparing modern Apple Mac OS to the Linux of old. And he broke it down into categories like external monitors, software installation, hardware compatibility, technical support. And I'll give you a taste of it. Software installation. Linux 2000. There is only one true way of installing software using distro packages. If you do anything else, you are bad and you should feel bad. Apple 2019. There is only one capital true way of installing software, the Apple Store. If you do anything else, you are bad and you should feel bad.
I told you, it's one of those shows.
Yes.
Technical support. Linux 2000. If your problem is not Google trivial, there's nothing you can do. Asking friends for assistance does not help because I will just type the problem description into Google and read you the first hit. Apple 2019. If your problem is not Google trivial, there is nothing you can do. Calling Apple's tech support does not help because they just type the problem into Google and read you the first hit.
Apple has made it harder to get support because they use things like numbers as an application name and photos as an application name, which has driven me up the wall forever. Like, before I was ever at Mac Observer, I was mad that they were calling stuff things like pages because it's hard to find information about an application called pages. Go try it. Yeah, good luck.
Let me read you one more. Advocate behavior. Linux 2000. Fanboys will let you know in no uncertain terms that their system is the best and will win over the desktop computer. Said fanboys are condescending, elitist computer nerds. Apple 2019. Fanboys will let you know in no uncertain terms that their system is the best and will take over the desktop. Said fanboys are condescending, elitist, hipster, latte website designers.
Ouch! I mean, he's not wrong, but ouch.
So I actually ran into this problem.
More, but you get the taste of it. Yeah, go ahead, Charlotte.
No, I ran into this problem.
This is my favorite part, is we were reading the link before, as we were getting rid of the show, and Charlotte said, I had this happen to me.
Right, I totally did. I like to have Xcode on my computer just as a kind of learning tool to try and understand a bit more what goes on the back end of some of the apps that we write, report on and learn about in it on the Mac Observer. I tried to learn a bit of Python. I tried to understand the different code languages that go behind app development and so on. I tried to understand that process. So I have Xcode. And when I tried to upgrade it, having upgraded to Catalina, it was like, no. No, thank you.
Sorry, no.
Not happening. Not enough space. And there was quite a bit of space. So I cleared some stuff. Actually, it really encouraged me, and I'm going to write an article on this as well, on like how to make your computer, like the Marie Kondo of your computer hard drive. Honestly, this bad boy.
Is there a mere mortal solution?
It's beautiful now. But honestly, this issue flagged up, and it's quite annoying because like you're upgrading or you're updating all your different, you know, Microsoft Word and Pages and whatever other apps I have running up on my computer. And then you get to Xcode, it's like, no, you haven't got enough space.
Very nice.
How much space did you have?
I actually don't remember, but it should have been, you would have thought, more than enough to do an update of an app.
To do what you wanted, yeah.
Well, it didn't quite make sense to me.
The thing about Mac OS now is that around the era of Snow Leopard, we reached the culmination of a standard BSD Unix with a nice GUI. And if you understood BSD Unix or even understood System 5 Unix, if you understood any kind of Linux operating system or Unix operating system, you understood the Mac. And it had a great GUI, and that made it great. But ever since Snow Leopard, Apple has been continuing to modify and improve and add features and efficiency and security procedures to the point now where Mac OS X is a hybrid of a BSD, Unix, and a GUI, and a very complex, very modern system that has its idiosyncrasies and things that are hard to understand. And this developer is right on, he's spot on, to use a British phrase.
Thank
when
you.
He talks about how if you don't understand something about Mac OS X now, no matter what Unix expertise you have or Mac expertise, you can find yourself going down a rabbit hole and having to go Google search and look for command line options and try to figure out what's going on because it's a mystery.
Here's another strange option, and this may just be more about, I'm prepared to accept my ignorance than perhaps a fault of the operating system, but actually I thought, oh, it's taking up space. I'll deal with it later once the operating system stabilizes. I'll clear off Xcode off my machine for a bit. But actually, it didn't clear off properly, and it was still there. And eventually, I had to update it, and it worked. So it didn't even come off my machine when I thought it had.
Nice.
So
that's always helpful.
Really
I've uninstalled this, and no.
Yeah.
Well, you drag and drop it into the bin, which, you know, for most applications, particularly Apple applications, is a fairly simple way of cleaning stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
For some things, you obviously want to check if there's more underlying files and bits of code or whatever, but...
Right.
Well, we were talking about this last week, Cheryl. I don't remember if you were on the show, but I was talking about after Catalina's installed, a little app should pop up and say, hey, how's it going with Catalina? Really need to go back to Mojave? Click here.
Well, yeah, no, Xcode, it was you and I discussing this.
Xcode should have something like that. So are you? Did you install Xcode? Yes. Are you happy with it? Do you want to keep it? No. Do you want to delete it? Yes. Click here. And Apple is smart enough to munch through the system and figure out how to completely eradicate it. But no.
Okay, Xcode is now working for me. Anyways.
But no.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad it's working for you, I should say.
I'm pleased as well. But I think I have to say, and I know we don't want to do another All the Things That Are Wrong with Catalina show, because people have only just recovered from Dr. Bob doing that for us.
That's true.
Dr. Mac, Dr. Bob Levitis. He's a real doctor, right, Kelly?
Sure.
Cool.
Bob.
Hi, Bob. I did notice there was a lot of problems I was having with the kind of original install, and I did the update over the weekend. It seems to have stabilized things a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Finder was crashing on me the whole time. That was really helpful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so that's always nice.
This is your production machine, Charlotte? I admire
it. Yeah, it's my main. It's my main machine. My Mac Mini, it was really useful.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's always nice.
I would try and get a photo to put on the Mac Observer, and it would just go.
That's always nice. Yeah. No thanks.
It was particularly useful.
Yeah. I will. Obviously, as more of this stuff happens, we will continue to talk about it. So it sounds like Charlotte's pro tip right now is if you have Catalina installed, if you don't have it installed, don't start now. But if you do have it installed, you should definitely make sure you're keeping up with updates, because it should help smooth off some of those rougher edges.
I think so. Yeah, I think that is... You certainly don't want to be lagging behind. If you've gone in, you need to keep up to date.
Yes, keep up. Absolutely. So the other thing we want to talk about is also a Charlotte topic. Charlotte is unofficially in the market for a new iPad, I think.
Yeah, don't tell my bank balance.
And it's cool. We won't say anything.
Thanks.
What we want to do is talk a little bit about what could lead a person to make a purchasing decision. And part of that is because there's more than one iPad available now. There's your standard issue iPad, there's your iPad Pro, and there's your iPad Mini, which is a viable option again, thanks to some recent updates. And John can talk to you about those updates at some point. He just recently picked up a new Mini. So we will definitely be talking about that soon. But
I wrote the article. I don't want to interrupt Charlotte because it's her story. But on September 11th, I wrote an article, My Dilemma, iPad Mini 5 or 7th Gen iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I selected an iPad Mini 5 over the weekend, and that's what started this discussion.
Yeah.
Take it away, Charlotte.
Yeah.
No. Well, in a way, it's really you that prompted this, because you were like, I was saying, oh, I quite fancy a new iPad, because mm-hmm. I haven't had one for a long while, since they first came out years and years ago,
right?
Actually. And then John said, oh, I picked up a new iPad Mini 5. They're really pretty. let's be honest.
So let's start at the beginning then.
Yes.
You are looking for a portable device to do what exactly?
So I think the main thing... So I did a review a week or so ago of Apple News Plus...
Mm-hmm.
Once it launched in the UK, and I realized that one of the things that its arrival had made me do, clever old Apple, is make me want a slightly bigger device than my iPhone to yes. read the beautifully presented content on.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how they manage that. And it's also funny, isn't it? John will, I think, note this. Isn't it funny, John, how Apple, as well as providing the beautiful content, has the perfect device for reading said pretty content on?
Mm, those clever guys.
Clever. Several. Yeah.
And gals.
Mm.
Indeed. Mm.
So, I've been kind of always tempted by an iPad for a long while. And we obviously at the Buy Innovation Only event, Apple did upgrade them. Anyway, so
significantly,
we were kind of just off there having a discussion about for a bit of writing, some video viewing, and reading. What is the right iPad for a user?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think actually, I don't think I'm a particular. I think my use case for an iPad is a fairly common one. I would say.
Yeah.
I'm not a pro user who is looking, for example, for graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple has devices for those people.
Right. So probably not a pencil. Like, you're not looking for necessarily something.
No, I don't think I am one of those users, those users do exist. I don't think I am the kind of, but I'm also not the kind of, how can I put this delicately? Perhaps the kind of lower end, is that the way to describe it? Lower end, perhaps slightly older user who just wants a simpler device for doing a bit of email.
Mm. So a lighter weight device.
I basically want, I've got my Mac Mini is my main device, and I'm kind of wondering, looking for something that maybe, you know, with a keyboard that I could do a bit of writing, mm-hmm. bit of email, mostly reading and video viewing on.
So if I were getting one right now, if I were to go and buy a new iPad, it would absolutely be a Mini for a couple of reasons. Number one, I haven't bought a keyboard case in ages because I have an Apple Wireless keyboard not the magic keyboard, but the wireless keyboard. And I bought a little $10 case.
That's what I have attached to my Mac Mini at the moment.
Yeah, so I have a different keyboard attached to my computer, but I have that keyboard, and I got a $10 little wraparound case for that keyboard, so if I throw it in my backpack or whatever, I'm not going to damage the keys.
Sure.
And the top of the case folds up into a stand for whatever I want to put there. So I've put my phone in that little groove,
nice.
Like propped my phone up there, or my iPad, whatever iPad. This is my... I think I'm on my fourth model of iPad that I've done this with, because then I don't have to buy a new keyboard case, and my keyboard is a full-size keyboard because it's just the Apple wireless keyboard. And if I don't want to use it, I don't have to get it out. I don't have to leave it. I can leave it at home, and I'm not making the trade-off of, like, the smart keyboard has gotten better. It's also gotten bigger. So, you know, if you had a smart keyboard on a larger iPad, it wouldn't be the experience it was when they were much smaller. And I can type on a full-size keyboard at speed. It's fully tactile, like I can feel all the keys and everything, so all the touch typing muscle memory stuff is all still there. And if I don't want the keyboard, I don't take it with me, or I put it in my bag but I don't take it out of my bag. And with a Mini, I feel like I could take the Mini with me, and I don't have to have a special bag to do that. Like, logistically, a Mini would fit in my purse. So, like, I have a bag that I can carry my iPad in as well, but, like, it's slightly more acreage than a Kindle, and that's also a very comfy device to carry around. But if I want to also input into it, then I would just grab my keyboard and take my keyboard with me. But if I'm just going to be reading primarily or watching video primarily, I feel like that's the Mini is the sweet spot, which is part of why I was always so frustrated that it was broken. Not broken, but quietly aging for as long as it did, because I feel like it really needed an update. John is probably going to counsel you the opposite way.
Isn't the issue for you, Cart Charlotte, really the screen size?
I probably would be tempted to a bigger screen size than Mini. I have a Kindle for book reading on the go. I love my Kindle Paperwhite.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that, I've had a Kindle for a number of years. John's initial reaction, obviously, because it's John, was to get an iPad Pro.
Yeah.
10.2, all singing, all dancing. Tell me why, John.
Well, the 7th generation iPad with the 10.2-inch display that Apple just announced only has an A10.
Mm-hmm.
And its base storage is 32, so if you're going to have some serious storage, you're going to have to bump up the price.
Yeah.
And the resolution is not that much greater. Not much greater than the Mini. It's 2160 by 1620, and the Mini is almost as good as that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have sharp eyes, you have the same resolution with a smaller display, and it's handier to carry around, and it's a lot lighter and easier to handle.
Well, and you can zoom text to a certain extent. Like, there's dynamic text stuff, so if you really like the physical size of a Mini, you can pop the text up a notch or two and make it a little bigger to read, just like you can on your phone.
That's why I dismissed the 7th generation in favor of the more high-tech, better-equipped iPad Mini. But if you just need a basic iPad for everyday use, and then you're not using it for pro purposes and design, then you're right, Charlotte. A 7th gen iPad with a 10.2-inch screen, even though it only has an A10, it's probably all you need.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It certainly could be.
Except I wouldn't buy a 32-gig model, though.
I was looking at the 128-gig model.
Yeah.
Which is, you'd be all in the UK, £450. Is it $449 in the US?
It's somewhere in there. I don't remember now off the top of my head. I haven't been looking because it will just make me want one more, and so I haven't been looking all that closely.
This is the
I paid $399 for the iPad Mini 5, and then we got a college discount, $20.
So how are you? I know you're probably going to tell us more about your iPad Mini once you're settled into it, but how's your...
The first concern I have is Apple still signing 12.4.1, because if the iPad Mini 5 shipped with iOS 13 and Apple stopped signing 12.4.1, I don't know how I'm going to do my backup from the Mac and restore. So I'm wondering about how that's going to happen.
Just had another thought as well. With Catalina now obviously has Sidecar, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So a slightly bigger iPad is more use as a secondary display for a Mac as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I use multiple desktops to solve that problem. I have the
F, what is it, F14, F15 keys programmed to jump desktops.
And that's how I keep track of creation versus communication.
One day I'm going to fly over to the States just to see John's office set up, honestly.
Multiple desktops in Mojave or even, you know, High Sierra are very handy because you can put like email and Slack and Twitter on one page, and then you can have your production apps be edited in Safari or whatever on your other page and flip back and forth, and that way you don't have to have overlapping windows.
Yes. I will point out, if anyone ever it sounds like John is twitching a little bit, it's because he's talking to me and like every window on my computer is touching another window. It's either above it or below it, no. Like a little bit here or a little bit there. And it hurts him.
John, to look at my...
Yeah, it hurts him to know that that's what's happening. So, just so we're clear.
I have quite a big 4K monitor attached to my Mac Mini, and like I have multiple desktops running things, but stuff is like overlapping each other and touching whatever.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. It's why John gets upset sometimes, and I'm sorry, John. I don't mean
I do let it happen. I'm not obsessive about it. It's just a preference.
Of course, like, you're not, John.
Discord is blocking out part of Twitter and Pathfinder.
This just in, John is totally obsessing about it. just so we're all clear. part of why we wanted to talk about this today is because Charlotte has some opinions about she has some ideas about what she wants to do, and we're trying to figure out what the best device is. And there may be other people out there who are having the same discussion, whether it's for themselves or trying to look at something for the impending gift giving season that is coming soon.
It's only October.
Well, some sooner than others, because my birthday is next month, or as I call it, Christmas in November. So there's that happening. And so if you're looking for those sorts of things, we will be looking for you will be seeing gift guides. Andrew casually mentioned, I think last week, that he's going to be doing some gift guide stuff. We will all have ideas. There's going to be lots of stuff out there. And one of the things that we can do to help you with some of these decisions is ask some of the questions and figure out how to get to some of the things that people need to know in order to figure out, like, is an iPad the right thing for me, or should it be the new Mini, or does it really need to be a Pro? I will tell you, I have a pencil with my iPad Pro. I have a 9.7, I think it is. It's the last Pro before they started coming out with USB-C ones. And I have an Apple Pencil with it. And the number one far and away thing I use that for is handwriting, believe it or not. I do tons of that. And it actually works really well. And I like it a lot.
Do you have an Apple Pencil, John?
Yes. And I don't use it very much anymore because I find myself always with a dead battery. And so I have an iPad Pro, the original 12.9 inch from 2015, and I have a case with a loop to hold a stylus, and with a stylus I keep in that loop, and it's always there and it's always ready and it's always charged because it's just a plain stylus. And the Apple Pencil became a pain to keep charged all the time because the battery's not that great and it dies over time, so not a big fan of the Apple Pencil anymore.
Yeah, and actually, the more I've used, I have liked it better, honestly. So I've actually had a chance to use the second gen pencil on the USB-C iPad Pros, and it's even better. Like, I would like that even more than what I've got. So if you want to find out more about the gear we have, or you have questions about maybe you're looking at something in particular for someone for a gift, and you want to find out how we got to the decisions we made about some of the stuff that we have, you are more than welcome to ask those questions. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter. You can long form it by emailing observations@macobserver.com, or you can leave comments in the show notes, and we watch all of those places, and we will use all of that information to make sure that we are getting information out to you that is useful and helpful. In the meantime, I would like to thank both of you for being here today. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much. And if you would like to contribute to the Charlotte Henry iPad Fund, there'll be a Patreon link in the show notes. Thank you so much.
I'm not buying it.
That's also my book, if you would like to contribute to that.
I thought you were going to say that was your fundraiser, was go buy a copy of my book.
Correct.
John Martellaro, thank you so much for being here today. Destroyer of podcasts.
Bye, Charlotte.
I'm broken. That's it.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I am going to have to leave now because I'm going to need the rest of the day to emotionally prepare to buy Rise of Skywalker tickets tonight, because Rise of Skywalker tickets go on sale tonight. And there are a few things I am as excited about as a new Star Wars movie. So until then, I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.